I said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
People, get ready.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Gather round your radio now for Uzi and Aaron.
Aaron, one of us has a new baby, a beautiful baby. We just saw a photo of little Vader.
Gorgeous.
You look fit as a fiddle, like, you know. Great. Did you even miss a gym session during the whole process?
I said, listen, she was, my wife was in labor, and I said, look, I need about 40 minutes, it's leg day. And then I came back in and she was still there. So
did you do a gym session while she was in labor?
Well, why wouldn't I? Every now and again she'll go, did you look at my Instagram? I always say no. And
because I look at it much more than you do.
There you go. And she's like, look at this. And she showed me 200 messages from women. I said, how long's that been up? She said, 40 minutes.
Oh, it's amazing. But well, this is the impact that she has.
Yeah, because she is, and as I messaged her, she is a true warrior.
It was about this.
So I saw my women's health physio yesterday, and pelvic floor is great, no tears, no prolapse, but I do have severe ab separation. And my physio drew on my stomach to show the separation, and for me, I've got 9 centimetres.
So that was my wife with a little box on her tummy that she'd drawn in Texter. On the internet.
And we welcome her right now. Now, Tiff, your Instagram has been amazing lately because you're talking about your journey post-baby and that includes the trying to get your abs back together.
Yes, my abs. Oh, my gosh. Mind the gap. My goodness. I've got 9 centimetres. My abs have floated away and I've got 9 centimetres between them. You know, the rectus abdominis, they're like the loaf of bread, your abs. So you've got a line down the middle, the sheath of connective tissue, and that's just separated. Mm. And so I have a bit of like a 3 to 6 month recovery ahead of me. But I put it out there and I was like, hey, my abs have floated away. And I was inundated by women who have experienced this and their tummies have never gone back to being strong and they've had hernias and core weaknesses as a result. And I was like, oh, my goodness, we can do this together. So I'm going to help women get strong again. That's
and also, and let's
get
not,
our tummies back.
And let's not, you know, let's not, yeah, you know, so you do wear yourself a fair bit at the moment.
Oh, my goodness, yes, but that's not related to different. Ab separation. That's related to my pelvic floor.
It's a different topic.
You're coughing.
I have to say, I went to see a women's health physio.
Oh, this is this.
I've never had this experience before, but they do an internal examination, and my pelvic floor is all good.
Hang on.
But she did ask me a weird question. She said, do you feel your farts?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I do feel my farts. And she said, great news, because if you don't feel your farts, that means you've got like issues down there. And so I had an intimacy check as well. So they check you to make sure that you can feel everything in your return to the bedroom as well. So it was a real eye opener.
Wow.
But go and see women's health physio because they help you with ab separation and pelvic floor and your farts.
I had no idea anyone could not feel their farts. Some people not feel their own.
Well, apparently, yeah, your pelvic floor can be that bad that you can't feel your own farts, and that'd be devastating.
So they could just happen any time, and you can't sort of stop them happening, basically.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're a mystery to you as well. I mean, Tusies get felt in Hornsby when he lets them rip here at World Square.
No, well, it's something to impress your children with, even though they're not impressed anymore, which is disappointing.
Hey, but Tiff, it's interesting, isn't it? Because a lot of people, men in particular, when women have babies, think it's just a matter of you put on some weight and then afterwards, you know, if you want to lose it or you want, you know, a lot of people just think it's a weight thing.
Yes.
But your organs move almost meters inside your body. What actually happens inside our bodies when we carry a child and then deliver a child is unbelievable. It's trauma.
Unbelievable. It is. And the physio did say to me that it'll take a year to recover from pregnancy. And a lot of people just think the bounce back is pretty quick. But it's actually a year to rehab the muscles inside. And it's not just about weight. And that's what I'm trying to tell people. Yes, I've put on a bit of weight after having a baby and I'll lose that slowly and gradually. But it's more about the rehabilitation of the muscles and the stability of the core that I'm worried about. And I really am touched by so many women contacting me. It's in the thousands now, Ed. Mm-hmm. And they're just talking about how they never had that strength back. Mm-hmm. And so if I can help them, then I just feel so privileged to do that.
Your goal is to get the abs closer together and maybe one day, and I've never had visible abs, so I've got no idea. Do you want to see your abs again? Is that the goal?
I would love to because when I see my abs, you know, there's a sign of strength and conditioning. So I would love to get my tummy tone back. Yeah. But not having the six pack isn't the goal. I would just love to be able to do some push ups and some pull ups, which I can't do at the moment.
Yeah.
I can do 5 push ups, but I used to rep out 20, 30. Like, you know, I would love to have the performance gains. Yeah.
Feel the farts and do some pull ups. Yeah, it's a fair goal.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday, yes. Yes. Well, that's
happy birthday.
Amazing.
You've had the intermissy check.
So, yeah, what does that mean? You're good to...
You're ready to go again.
We're cleared for marital relations. I thought the intimacy check felt like it went a bit long for me. I think sometimes this physio might like to enjoy her work, but that's fair enough too.
Absolutely.
Mayday, mayday. This is relationship number 456. We've got no choice. We're going to have to make an emergency landing.
Crash investigator Hughes, we have reports of a relationship crashing and burning off the coast of Tinder.
My God, not another one. Did we recover the black box?
We sure did.
Well, stop wasting time. Get that thing open and let's see what went wrong.
Yes, yeah. We love it. Text trauma. Mm-hmm. Amazing where we role play. Absolutely. I generally play the guy.
Yes.
And you know, it's either Aaron? You or Aaron play the woman.
What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah. I'd like to play the woman.
I think you'd be perfect. Right. I think you'd be perfect
generally
today.
Generally how I do it.
Today we're meeting Kylie and Zach. They had been seeing each other for 9 months. Oh, my God. Zach asked Kylie to be his girlfriend, but she said no and broke things off. Here's what went down after the breakup.
This is going to be the hardest week of my life.
Why, Zach?
With you being away, what do I do?
I'm legit working, Zach. How do you think I feel? You spoke to girls within a few days of me saying I needed space. Your ex just followed you back on Instagram, and I know you guys have spoken and have deleted the messages.
Are we really over?
Yes, stop making me feel bad, Zach.
I was so proud and chuffed with you. I literally couldn't wait to put you on my Instagram and introduce you to my friends. God. It's just like I've realised you don't feel the same about me at all.
I'm really sorry I don't feel the same.
My heart hurts. Why did I let this happen?
Please don't. We both tried, Zach. We both have different perspectives and expectations on the situation.
I'm never giving my heart to another person. Ever. You don't want to hear from me or deal with me. You're getting your wish. You're so selfish. I never want to hear from you again.
Why are you being so nasty?
Because I love you.
Oh.
Wait, you never even told me that in person.
You.
Whoa, not cool. I was hesitant about ending this, but now it's clear.
This is the worst relationship I've ever been in.
Okay.
Good luck to you. You're heartless. No time for anyone but yourself. To think I gave you time and money, and you never gave a... I don't even care if you don't reply to my texts.
Kylie misses a call from Zach.
Why aren't you answering me?
And scene. My goodness. Well.
Oh, wow.
Kylie. Oh, what happened there, Kylie?
Oh, I know. Hearing that back over has just brought back a lot of memories. I guess, from my end, I'd recently moved interstate, met this guy, and I think just looking back, I think I was still in love with my ex, and I just didn't really, I loved having someone there, but I just, looking back, I think I just didn't want to commit, and probably strung him along for a little bit too long.
Can we ask a question? Did you get back with your ex?
No. He was in another state where I was previously living, so that made it difficult.
Now, this guy that you broke the heart of, was he a good guy, or what do you reckon?
He was a good guy, but I think ultimately why I didn't want to kind of pursue things any further than the long 9 months I strung him along for was we had a lot of different morals and different kind of paths in life, which I think that's probably why I hesitated to kind of make things official and want to push any further. But he was a good guy. I think I was a little bit young and probably a bit of a pushover to not really stand my ground earlier with what I wanted.
Can I ask, how long did he try for and before he gave up, like after you'd said that's it?
There was probably, I would say, about 1 or 2 months of him trying to message me and check in, and I was just away with work, and it just was never going any further.
Susie, Ed and Erin.
Oh, the borders are open. You can travel internationally. We love Vanuatu. What a place that is.
Oh, unbelievable stuff. 3 hours away.
Oh, we love we also love Bali, though, don't we? Yes.
We do. Bali's a great place. I lived in Indonesia for 6 or 7 years, which is not Bali per se. It's a bit more touristy. We were in Jakarta, but the whole country, the people, everyone's amazing.
More touristy than Bali.
Well, like less. I mean, as in Bali is more touristy than the kind of authentic Jakarta where you go to kind of kampungs and villages. And what I'm trying to say is that I did the real thing. Australians go over and do the fake thing.
Okay.
That's it.
But one of our producers, Louis, though, you went to Bali just recently, yeah?
Yeah, I got back on Tuesday. It was my first time there and it was absolutely wild.
And Lou, you were going over the first 5 days was a really beautiful yoga retreat for you to just take some time out and cleanse. How did that go?
Yeah, so the yoga retreat turned into 10 days of drinking instead.
So you didn't go.
I lasted at the yoga retreat for 12 hours. And then I left and went and met my friends.
Was there accommodation at the yoga retreat? Or?
Yeah, it was a whole thing. I think I'd just sort of been a bit catfished, and I think what I should have done is probably just booked a really nice resort on my own. And there were people doing aerial yoga and
But did you party and then come back and sleep at the yoga retreat?
No,
or you just left it completely?
I fully left. I went and booked second accommodation.
Wait, what did it cost you, the yoga retreat?
I don't even want to know. Want to know the entire thing.
But did you meet a man or did you, is this what? Right? You met someone?
Yeah, I had a wee holiday romance.
Good.
Yeah, which I wasn't expecting, but great, tale for the grandkids. And we went out. I was with like one of my girlfriends and then she had some other friends there and then she was going home and I was sort of, getting along with this guy. Then we went to this place called Sandbar, which is like a huge basically festival on the sand, and there was a tattoo parlor up the top and sort of like corn stands and everything, and we sort of started chatting. We're a few drinks deep here, obviously. And he said, what do you do? And I was like, oh, I'm in radio and I TikTok, rah, rah. And then somehow we decided that it would be a great idea for him to get my name tattooed on his foot. So he's got @Lulu tattooed on the side of his heel.
And you met him how many hours before?
We'd known each other probably 50, maybe an hour and a half at this point.
Wait. Yeah. Where on his foot, Lulu? Where on his foot?
Like right by the heel. So it's like.
So not
like,
on the sole.
No, like it's visible. If he was wearing bare feet or thongs, it's like, bam, there's @Lulu. It's a great story for him.
Had you kissed him at this point, or
you definitely kissed him?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, we had kissed at this point, and then we hopped on the back of the scooter, helmet on, and off to Sandbar we went for a tattoo.
And so, what happened after the tattoo? In remembering that kids in the car, etc.
No, nothing like that happened. But I think he probably woke up in the morning thinking, "Oh my good God, what have I done?"
Have you been in contact with him since?
Yeah, like a bit of comms, but he lives in Perth, so it's like it was literally a holiday romance.
Right.
That did happen to me in Hawaii. I met a bloke and thought I'd completely fallen in love, and then it doesn't work back home, girlfriend.
Oh, we've had a few Instagram DMs, and that's about it, and now he's got my name on his foot, you know? Yeah. Happy days.
It's fair to, it's fair to say that he wasn't in another relationship, is there? There's no way that you would get someone's name tattooed to your body if you're already in.
Imagine coming home with that. Hi, doll. Oh, here's
how
another
could he
woman's
justify
name.
That? What would be a way that he could get around that somehow? Because that is your handle, is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's like,
no way around it.
There's no way.
Pretend it's Lululemon, the brand. I just love
just passionate
activewear.
About women's activewear.
I love that the blokes have come out of the woodwork here to admit they have got ink and it's gone wrong.
Daniel, whose names do you have on your body?
Hey, how are ya?
Yeah, great.
Yeah, so I've done a double here. So I've got my first ex's initial tattooed on the ring finger. Then the girlfriend at the time didn't like that one. So I got it lasered and got her initial on there. And then on my, her name on my wrist as well. Now this missus doesn't like that one, so I'm getting them all lasered again.
Mate. Come on. You learned your lesson now, no more ink.
No, I reckon third time lucky. What do you reckon?
Hey, Daniel, is that just a thing? Is that your way of showing love or like do the women you're with have trust issues that you almost feel compelled to do that? Like what's the deal?
No, I don't know. I just got that many tattoos. Like, yeah, whatever.
Mate, I've got my wife's name tattooed to my ring finger, you know, but we're still together, man. So,
reckon third time lucky, eh?
Yeah, but they do love it though, don't they? When you they love it. So, and yeah, maybe it's not a long time, but it's a short love. From Daniel.
All right, thank you, Daniel. Here comes Graham. Who is on your body?
I've got my ex partner's name across my stomach.
Ooh, so it's a big one.
Yeah, it's a big one.
What's the font?
Pardon?
What font is it?
Sort of letters.
Font? Like
sort of letters?
What type of
it's
writing?
Like that curly sort of.
Oh, the curly.
Sort of writing. Yeah, it's all joined together. So, not joined.
How long after you got it did you break up?
Would have been at least 5 years.
Man, that's 5 years of value there. 5 years. So, how has it affected your life now, like when you're with other people? What goes on?
Oh, yeah, I sort of get embarrassed if people see me with my shirt off, but no one ever says anything about it.
Could you, Graham, just say it's your mum or something? Would that work?
Oh, no, I think. Like, I usually have my shirt off around my family, and they know whose name it is.
Yeah, they know it's not mum.
And that's kind of creepy, getting your mum on your tummy anyway.
Are you in a relationship now, Graham?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of Melissas in the world, though, isn't
so
there?
So many.
I mean, I think it's...
So
could
many.
Could you put that on your dating profile, just looking for a Melissa?
Susie, Ed and Aaron.
So I walked into a work environment the other day and inserted myself into a conversation because I'd been triggered.
That's a relief.
I'd been triggered.
It's just a conversation, yeah.
There was a group of brilliant professional women who were, I believe, talking out of school about one of their partners, and it was a complaint session, you know.
Oh, yeah, because blokes never do that about chicks.
Oh, well, I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, but that's not this story.
Okay,
it's an actual story.
Okay,
and one of the brilliant people was banging on about how she pays for her partner's coffees, and it annoys her, and it was not. I didn't like the conversation.
To be honest, if that's all she's got to pay for, then she is one lucky woman.
Well, I think it sort of, the implication was that, you know, there would be other things that she would have to pay for as well. And what I said to her, which I'll say to you, and I'm happy to have a discussion on this, is that welcome to our world. Because I believe the person in a relationship who you know, is the, who earns the higher income is the one who pays. And that's just what you accept that. And
I do feel like
I've never walked into a room where men have been complaining about paying for their girlfriend's coffees. So ever. So why, if the woman in the relationship earns the higher income, why does she complain about paying for her boyfriend's coffees?
Well, probably because she's paying for a lot of other things as well, as well, you alluded to.
I think that also happens in when the man is the one paying.
And she may also be complaining because because he may be the higher income earner. You don't know that.
I do know this.
How do you know that?
I know.
Or what, you're asking people what they earn now?
Look,
I do feel like there's been some downside.
I believe he doesn't have a job.
Oh, okay. Yep. Oh, so now you're going to make fun of someone without
work. I'm not making fun of him. They were.
Record low unemployment yesterday. He should get a job. Why doesn't he have a job?
I'm the one who's on his side here. Let's just listen to what I've said. I said she should accept the fact that she has to pay for him because he loves her and he would do anything for her.
How do you know that?
I know. I assume he loves her.
Okay, so essentially... We are paying the price now for this push for equality.
Yes, you are.
Well, that is completely screwed. You know what? I'm angry. I'm over it. My door opened. I want some bloke in a building site to whistle. And I want someone
to pay for your stuff.
I don't want to say that because I'll get in trouble. Yes.
Well, I put it to you that you want equal rights and you deserve them.
I want the equal rights that I want. I just don't want all of them.
Yeah, exactly. You want to pick and choose your equal rights.
I want to pick and choose the equal rights. So, as I said, I want blokes to pay and I want them to make me feel good and I want them to reassure me that I'm attractive, but I don't want to have to pay.
No. If you're the higher income earner and you bring in all the bread... You got to share the bread with your loved one.
I'm happy to share the bread.
You're not happy. You're not happy.
There's no Vegemite coming from his corner. Then what?
You resent giving money to men.
I've done it my whole life. It's all I've ever done. It is all I've ever done.
And I hear resentment.
I resent it.
Yeah, exactly.
I resent it because it's not fair. I work hard. I work hard.
What if the man works hard?
Oh, go on. Name a job that he might work hard in that won't pay a lot. Go on.
Hang on. What I'm saying is that you want equal rights. I don't want to hear you bang on about you got to pay for your unemployed boyfriend's coffee. You know?
No, you're right. That's awfully nasty of that woman to be upset by that. She should continue to support.
But every other woman in the room was agreeing with her, and when I piped up, I was given death stares.
Oh, you didn't pipe up, did you?
I piped up. I'm going to take a stand on behalf of men. And, you know, I said what I said to you, I said to them. And it didn't go down well.
I want to hear from women who have to pay for everything. Because it'd be fine if we got other stuff as well. But men... I know what you're trying
to
say.
You get other stuff.
Like
you get
what?
Love and affection.
Oh, for God, really? You want to talk about my past? I got love and affection, did I?
I got
nothing.
You got stuff.
I got nothing.
Oh, hang on.
I'm not talking about recent.
Let's open the phones to this. Are women happy to pay? If they've got more money, are they happy to pay?
And by the way, I pay for it. I'm very happy to pay. I'm very generous.
You don't sound happy to pay.
No, because I'm bitter.
I know.
Because I got nothing.
Well, that happens to men as well. Men get in relationships. They think the person's in love with them. They pay for everything. And then they get left. That happens to men.
I know. I know.
All right, come on. Hey, so I interrupted a conversation of women the other day and they were all getting around. One of them who was telling the sad story of having to pay for her unemployed boyfriend's coffees. And I was like, come on, this is what you wanted. You got it.
Quality.
And what I say, the person in the relationship who's got the most money pays. And that's just the way it is, whether that is a man or a woman. And I think that's fair. I know, Erin, it's happened to you over the journey.
Yeah, over the journey. And I've always been very happy to. I joke about it, but it's, you know, I find it, I'm really bitter. And I want my money back.
That's what happens in divorce, though.
It's not divorce.
The person who makes all the money loses it all.
Yeah.
And they've got to start again.
Oh, no.
And it's often the man. Sometimes it's the woman.
No, I know. I'm happy to take one for the team. I know. But look, it is in this modern day society, it's something a lot of women do. Kylie, you're an old hand at this.
Hi.
I've
always paid for my exes. Always.
So Kylie, you're a successful person in your life financially, and so you've always had the most money. Is that right?
Correct. But yeah. I feel like once I've started to pay, then they kind of just expect it.
Exactly. See, that's the issue. Once you do it early and you do it willingly, because you're generous and kind, it just then becomes the expectation. There's no gratitude.
Yeah, but there should always be gratitude, and that is something I'm big on. I'm in a wonderful relationship. I'm very lucky, and my wife is not a spender. Mm. You know, she's so, you know, and you know what? But as I've said to her, you know, it's, you know, what's mine is yours.
And what's hers is yours. She works full time and earns money as well.
Absolutely. And yeah.
And you take that off her and you...
Well, she has a separate account that I don't have access to.
Really? No, that's normal. So, Kylie, are you going to now change the way you do things, or you're happy to continue in this generous vein?
No. So I'm single now, and my next person I meet, I'm not paying for them. I'm kind of expecting them to pay for me a little bit and then, you know, give and take a bit.
Yeah.
So if they happen to have no money, they'll have to go hungry. Is that what you're saying?
They're not my person.
Oh, Kylie, I once went on a date with a bloke who offered to drive me home at the end. And as we went through the toll after the Harbour Bridge thing, he asked me for toll money because it was towards the end of his pay cycle, like coins, like $3.50.
I don't think you were going out with him. I think that was Uber driver who you thought you were in a relationship with.
But he was really sweet and asked me lots of questions.
At the airport the other day, 2 hours late for a flight, I said to the flight attendants, why? You know what they said to me? They said, because all the staff have got COVID.
Oh, yeah.
It made me think, do they?
Yeah.
Do they really have COVID or do they want a week off? And here's an example. Last night I picked my son up from basketball training. Uh-huh. He gets in the car and he goes, gee, I got a sore throat, Dad.
There we go.
Do you, mate? There do you? And I said, you don't have COVID. We did a rat yesterday. And he said, I need to do another rat. That kid wants to do rats until one of them turns double blue. That's all he wants to do because he wants a week off. Then my wife told me a story about one of her friends. Her friend's son came out of the room with the rat test and said, look, Mum, double blue lines. And her mum goes, oh, no. And then she had a good look at the rat. He had drawn it in with a texter.
No,
he drawn it in.
No.
Blue texter, and you can have a week off. Just double line of blue line. The texter, come on, people.
Come on, people.
Go to work. Come on. My two daughters had the day off school. They spent the morning with their mother she's a school teacher. They spent the morning helping her in her class with the grade ones.
Cute.
Wonderful. They read to the grade ones.
Oh.
So that was beautiful. But then I picked them up for the afternoon and they had two things in their hands, which I could not believe. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you holding that? And they said, Mum said, we have to drink this before our basketball game. I'm like, what?
Bourbon.
Well, it was the other half of bourbon, as in bourbon and Coke.
Coca-Cola, had
full strength Coca-Cola. One of them's 9, one of them's 11. And I'm like, well, it's too young for full strength Coke. But they said, Mum said, we need to be fired up for our game because we've got no subs today. So only 5 of them.
And the more I hear about Holly and her parenting, the more I like her.
I was shocked. I didn't think kids that age were meant to have Coca-Cola.
Mm.
And I couldn't believe it.
But can I give you some side effects of drinking Coke for kids?
No, these
are medical.
No.
Just one. Just let me have one. I'll choose the least scary. This is the least scary. It has similar effects to heroin.
Well, hang on.
I don't think so, to be honest, because the two of them played the basketball games of their lives, and with no subs, they swarmed the opposition from the first siren to the last siren and came up with an unbelievable 16-10 victory.
Boom!
I say again, similar effects to heroin.
No, I don't think heroin would do that. I don't think they're whacking heroin into NBA players before they jump out there.
Well, I've never tried it. Sorry, I'm not an expert, okay? I'm sorry.
No, nor have I, but I just know. I've seen people who have, and they don't look like they're ready to play ball.
No.
Yeah, look, I'm very, as you know, very relaxed in terms of my parenting style. And even, funnily enough, last night, I'm sitting there at the table and Eliza wanted a chocolate frog. And she, you know, she had already had food in front of her. And I said out loud, no, you finish your tiny teddies before you can have that chocolate frog.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of mother I am. And even I wouldn't give her Coke probably at this stage.
Well, I don't think anyone does.
Do you give your kids full strength Coca-Cola?
Hughie, Ed and Erin.
My two daughters, one's 9, one's 11. We're on our way to their basketball game. They've got no subs because everyone's sick. And they just pulled out big cans of Coke, each of them. I said, where'd you get them? And they said, Mum gave them to us. She wants us to play well today. And they killed it, by the way. They both had unbelievable games and their mob got across the line in an exceptional performance.
So, kids and full strength Coke. Mark, do your kids drink full strength Coke?
Primary school, I'm pretty sure we started. We didn't really have many restrictions. I figured it was a balanced diet more than anything. made sure they clean their teeth, and the dentists say they got perfect teeth. So,
they've been sucking down the Coca-Cola since they were basically from nappies, is what we're saying.
No, I'm not saying that. There was no Coke in the milk bottle. No,
okay.
Definitely not that. But yeah, I figured if I was drinking it, why can't they?
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
If you're drinking
really
whiskey,
powerful.
Why can't they drink whiskey?
Thank you, Mark.
What's the issue here? Could there be an
issue? I don't see one either. I think if it works for you, do it.
Okay, well, it's time to meet Annette. You are a dental assistant, I believe.
I used to be a dental assistant for 15 years, yes.
Yeah, so you were seeing a lot of things in your life. You've looked in a lot of mouths.
Yes, I have.
So what's the problem?
Oh, it's disgusting. It's the amount of damage that it does on little kids' teeth. I've seen the worst of the worst. When you can imagine what I've seen, it's 100 times worse. It's black stumps. It's so much damage on their baby teeth. And then it can actually affect their adult teeth. And that's the sad thing. It affects their adult teeth.
I was thinking that baby teeth doesn't really matter. What happens there, they fall out anyway. So...
No,
so you're a hard no, are you?
No, 100% no way.
Yeah, and look, I do, jokes aside, agree with you. And as I said, I'm pretty relaxed with my daughter. She eats a lot of crap, but she doesn't drink any soft drink.
Yep. Well, she's three, though. Well, she's just turned four.
Four.
So.
I get to know my child.
Like, I know, but they grow up so fast. You let go a year ago, didn't you, Erin?
I did. I let go. Well, I guess we all let go in some way. So I was with my former partner for 5 or 6 years. We had a little girl, Eliza, and it was exactly a year ago. And if anyone's been through it, it's probably the hardest thing that you'll go through, particularly when you've got kids. And regardless of what your relationship is like, it's incredibly difficult. But you reach a stage where you know that it's sometimes your only option and the thing that you have to do.
There ain't no gold in this river that I've been washing my hands in forever.
And I listened to that song a lot. That was Adele's song that came out at the time. And that was really, really powerful for me because it spoke about her journey through leaving her partner and having a child and that kind of thing. And it's terrifying, you know, when you first make the decision, because for me, I would have stayed for another 20 years if I thought it was the best thing for my little girl. But regardless of the fact that it is scary, sometimes it's the thing that you've got to do. At first I was afraid, I was petrified, kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. It's a real journey.
Here we go.
Where would music be without breakups?
I know. God, they are a powerful thing. And so it's terrifying. It's scary. You go through so many moments. Am I making the right decision? Should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? Ooh. There's some really tough moments, particularly early on and all the first birthdays you go through, the first Christmases you go through. And the thing that I've found that I never realized, and I thought it was during COVID, my family aren't here. You feel so alone. But I had a 3-year-old at the time who's now 4. Mm. And she turned into the greatest support I could have ever hoped for. And the reason that I got through, which I never thought a 3-year-old would have that ability to just be everything. Did you ever know that you're mine? Don't laugh, it's emotional.
Love it. You're everything I would like to be.
I can fly.
Loving this.
And that is honestly what she has been for me, the most incredible best friend, support, and watching her be happy and grow and turn into this incredible little girl who is so happy with her mum and so happy with her dad has been amazing. And as you go through these little things that you thought might be horrific, or you thought that it would hurt her, us separating, you feel all this guilt and all this failure, as you start to see that that's actually not the case, that it's actually the best thing, not only for the two of you, but for her. You start to get stronger. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And you start to not just feel stronger post-separation, but you become stronger in every other area of your life. I've never felt stronger professionally in securing what I want, in standing up for what I believe in identifying boundaries, in saying, no, that's too much, I can't do it. And this strength comes from doing something really difficult that you were afraid of, but then you do it and you realize, I'm so much stronger than I gave myself credit for. And the final part of this journey, something you said to me, Husey, when I first separated, and it was really awful and sad and hard, you said, hey, bright side, one day you will get to fall in love again. And at the time it felt so far away, and there were moments, so many moments when I thought, I'll probably never meet anyone again, or I might not meet anyone again. And that was okay because I didn't need to meet anyone again, but then I did, and it's been beautiful.
Take my wedding song. Take my whole
life to you. Wait for it. Stop laughing. It's meant to be emotional. Falling in love with. And safe to say, I am at 38, nearly 39 next year, next week, next month, the happiest I have ever been that I can remember in my adult life. And so it's been really hard, but an incredible ending and a wonderful outcome.
Oh, wow, what a journey. You get to connect to all the music.
It's incredible. That music's so powerful. And I used to listen to all those songs at different times to help me get through, particularly Adele at the start. And now I look back and go, it's actually amazing. Sometimes you got to look back and say, I survived that and it was really hard at times. And it still is really hard, but it's still the best thing that I've ever done.
We are so happy for you. Absolutely. I'm sure everyone is. One of those other people who have... You also want to celebrate their
separations. Absolutely. Well, this is why you talk about it, right? Because there might be people who are just going through this now and thinking they can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And I promise you, there is. And if you know it's the right decision and you're brave enough to make it, then life afterwards is going to be incredible.
Well, the divorce lawyers might be busy today.
Not trying to encourage anyone. It's worth fighting for as well. Like, make sure you try all the options.
Well, there's no songs for that. Susie, Ed and
Erin. Erin, fair to say you found yourself after separation.
Very much so. It's been, really tough at times, but also really incredible. And a year on reflection, just really, really happy. And my little girl's really happy and her dad's happy. So it's been a great outcome.
And we're very glad to have shared that journey with you, and we appreciate your honesty in, explaining it to us.
Well, hopefully it helps other people who might be a little bit earlier on in their journey, because there were some really low, tough times early on, and I promise you it works out okay in the end.
Well, Stephanie can relate.
I've been divorced for about 3.5 years now. I've got 2 little kids. I've got a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. I'm very thankful and blessed to say that I've got a great relationship with my ex-husband now, and he has a new partner that he's been with for about 3 years.
Good.
They have a little boy. I sometimes take care of him when they ask me to.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we have a great relationship. But you definitely do find yourself, like you said, it can be tough at times. But I found myself, I ended up getting a gastric sleeve operation. I've lost 90 kilos.
Whoa.
I was 175 kilos and now I'm 85.
Congratulations.
That's amazing.
Thank you. I've got a great new job. I've met a beautiful, beautiful man that treats me like a queen. Been dating him for the past 8 months. So 100%, it's bloody hard, but you get there, and it's so worth it in the end.
Isn't it just?
Stephanie, was it a mutual decision at the time, or how?
I thought it was originally, but it just wasn't working. And we got originally married because we were pregnant with my daughter, and you shouldn't do that. You really do need to think about it.
Yeah.
But like I said, we've come out the good end. I'm glad to say I have a fantastic relationship with my ex-husband and his missus.
That's great.
That's incredible. Yeah.
And your kids are happy, Stephanie?
Oh, extremely. They see both two happy parents apart than two unhappy parents together.
And that is key, isn't it? They're in a happy 100%. Environment, regardless of which home they're at, and that is far better than being in an unhappy environment in
exactly.
the one home.
Exactly, and they love their bonus mummy and they love their bonus daddy, so it's great.
That's beautiful. Oh, I love that.
If you want a great Friday night, you need to go to the Comedy Store in Moore Park and see the brilliant Simon Taylor, who has just featured on the Jimmy Fallon Show in America, broadcast to millions and millions of people. This is the joke he did on the Jimmy Fallon Show.
The last fun thing I did before I came to America was I played Monopoly with my parents. But they play Monopoly by the modern rules. Do you know the modern rules of Monopoly? That's where my parents start with all the property and I just wait for them to die.
So good.
He joins us this morning. Good morning,
Good
Simon.
Morning. Thanks for having me back.
Now, we love you and everything you do, but you told me a story about what happened when you got an ancestry test, and you need to tell everyone this story.
Well, a few years ago, those ancestry tests were all the rage.
Yeah.
And look, I'm white on white on white bread, so I don't even know why I did it, because it was cool and it was trendy. So they send you a little, they send you an envelope, return envelope. You spit in the envelope, not directly, but like, you got a little test tube or whatever. Send it off. And I was expecting a bit of Italian from mum and then Irish and Norwegian. I get the results back and there's no Norwegian. I'm like, that's weird. So I contact them, say, oh, could this be wrong? Whatever. They go, no, this is very accurate. There's a support group on Facebook. I'm like, support group? I'm fine. I'm okay. I just think you guys need to check your lab, check your test tubes. And then I spoke to my dad. I'm like, Dad, I thought we had Norwegian. I thought my grandfather was Norwegian. He's like, yeah, we should have Norwegian somewhere in there. And I thought, you know what? This is suspect. Because I picked up at basketball as a kid thinking I'd get some of those tall Norwegian jeans.
Yeah.
I stopped at 5'6". But anyway, whatever.
So you're 5'6", and you've got really tall... What, uncles?
My uncles are all tall, so I thought, okay, I'll grow tall like my uncles. Dad's the odd one out for some reason. And so I'm looking at all this, and Dad's like, no, I'm pretty sure. And so my grandma, grandpa, they're not around anymore. So Dad, the only person he could speak to about it was his auntie. And she was on her deathbed, and he brought it up, and on her deathbed gave him the name of his real dad.
What?
A week before she passed away, like right at the buzzer. And Dad didn't know. I mean, he must have suspected when you've got like 6'1 sons,
5'6" son, 6'1" son.
Okay. So he was one of how many in his, how many siblings does he have?
One of five.
And is he the only one who wasn't fathered by the father, the grandfather?
I can't even answer that. I don't know. I just know our story. So he's looked it all up online and tried to find the family. Now that guy's not around anymore, but his kids are. My dad reached out and they were like, "You are the spitting image of our father." And they got so emotional. Oh. And he went and had lunch with one of them, and she started crying just walking next to him because she's like, "This reminds me of when I was walked down the aisle. You walk exactly like Dad."
Oh God.
That's incredible.
Who was Dad? How did your grandmother meet your grandfather?
Well, look, some of this is conjecture, but he was the local TV repairman.
Yeah, bro.
So, to be honest, it was the 50s. Nan was obviously bored. Yeah. The TV was clearly broken.
Yeah. Or was it?
Yeah.
Or
maybe
was
that's
it?
Maybe that was or the was thing. It? Maybe that was his game.
Oh, my God.
Like, the TV's broken. Like, hey, come around, the TV's broken. Maybe that was code. Anyway. Man,
I don't think a TV could break the amount of times it's probably required.
Yeah, exactly.
But your grandmother went to the grave with the secret?
Exactly. That's why I'm telling this in Sydney and not.
So it was there, in all honesty, when there would be anger, I'd imagine, as well. Like, you know, you have a laugh, you have a joke, but I would imagine or not.
Enough time had gone by that no one had any animosity.
Really?
Because it was because Dad's in his 60s.
Yeah.
So this is like a 64-year-old story.
But wouldn't you kind of think, I should have had the right to meet my dad or to have that relationship? And I guess
you don't know what was
him
going on because it's all guessing, like, well, who was with who? Yeah. What was going on at the time?
It's fascinating.
But the person who you thought you was your grandfather, he never knew. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, no, he never knew.
Well, he is
maybe
he in heaven?
Or maybe they did though because they kept it all under wraps. Listen, they didn't have Today FM back then to tell the story, mate. So I don't know who knew what.
Didn't even have a TV that worked.
Yes.
See, Hughesy said the other day that his dad, you said, is watching down from above.
Yes. Well, I imagine.
Yeah. But what if he's watching down from above right now to check in on his grandson? He's just heard this and everything he thought he knew, and you've just ruined the rest of eternity that he's condemned to.
Yeah.
A lot to think about.
Well,
had you thought about that?
Maybe he's just watching TV. I don't know. Who knows what he's watching, Aaron?
Do you have other more exciting grandkids that he'd be watching rather than you?
Yeah, maybe. Well, none of them are done felons, so.